Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Wholeness Podcast. I literally have a smile on my face as I'm speaking to you because this subject makes me smile because it just runs deep. So today's topic is on the hero's journey, and it really does run deep for me because I remember when I first came across this work, I was living at my mum's, I was depressed, I felt very lost. I started at this point, I knew about Carl Jung and shadow work. If you haven't listened to my podcast episode on shadow work, I would say stop this at this point, listen to that, and then listen to this because it will make more sense. If you can't be arcs, that's fine too. Just, you know, carry on as you were. And I use this work to really make some major changes. So like I said, at this point, I was doing the shadow work. I knew about Carl Jung. And then I reached a point in my journey where I came into this information. And it was major for me. The hero's journey is basically the journey of the hero. The hero that we see in the Marvel movies. The heroes that we see in the Disney movies. The heroes that we read about in books. Superman, The Incredible Hulk. The Disney princesses, this is the journey, this is the story. And what I learned was that the heroes that we go to the cinemas to go and see, and we see them go through their trials and tribulations that they have to overcome to develop and transform, is the very journey that each of us go through. And it's the human experience that we're seeing played out on the big screen. And when I came to realize that and learn that, it just really inspired me and motivated me. And it was great because when I first came into this information, I literally spent days in my bedroom just watching all these amazing movies about heroes and heroines. And I just cried loads because I was really inspired. And it just gave me hope. It gave me so much hope because I was in a space where I felt so lost. And then when I was able to see from a psychological point of view, as well as clearly evidently playing out in the movies, it was a metaphor for my real life experience. Like, I was Superman, do you know what I mean? Like, I am the hero, but it's just played out in a dramatic way. And I was able to see that over and over and over and over and over again in all the different movies. And it's the same story, just told in different formats. So it was great. It was really, really, really good for me. And I want to tell you guys about where it comes from, why it's great information, why I think it's important that we notice it when we go to the cinemas and or turn on our TV and watch these movies. Let's begin. Like I said, I'm going to be reading, so bear with me, guys. It's just a lot of extensive information, so I had to take some notes. So where does the hero's journey originate? Where does it come from? We have Joseph Campbell to thank for that. Joseph Campbell was a philosopher and a theologian. He devoted his life to studying mythology from around the world. He noticed many religions were telling the same story. So he noticed similarities between the story of Jesus Christ and the Native American folktales, which he found quite baffling because the cultures were so different. And also the Native American folktales predated the story of Christ. And if you guys want to know more about this information, one of his most amazing and famous books is called The Hero with a Thousand Faces, where he details his journey and his studies over the years. So some of you guys listening might be aware of the ancient Egyptian story of Isis, Horus, Osiris and Set. And I'm part of a community, a conscious black community that we're into black history, we're into African spirituality. And this story I've heard over and over and over again in the community, people just being like, you know, the story of Jesus, you know, that's Horus, you know, So, yeah, and there's a lot, and it's not, again, my last podcast episode was on the significance of Easter, so I got time for Jesus, absolutely, but there are a lot of similarities there. So Horus had 12 disciples. Horus was born to a virgin mother, who was Isis. Horus performed miracles. Horus had to overcome Set, and Set plays the role of Satan in the Christian story. So there's a lot of similarities there, and it's not knocking it or saying it's bad. It's just these stories, as you'll come to learn as I go on, they're absolutely necessary, and of course the stories will change with the times and the people, because we want things that are relevant to us and our culture and our community. So why the similarities? Well, Joseph Campbell was heavily influenced by my guy, Carl Jung, obviously. And Carl Jung believed in the power of mythology. I'm going to read you two famous quotes by Jung now about his opinion on the power of myth. The most important question anyone can ask is, what myth am I living? And another one of his quotes are, myth is more individual and expresses life more precisely than does science. So why did Jung think myth was so important? Well, you've got the unconscious, which I speak about a lot with shadow work. And myth takes us into the depths of our unconscious mind, the subconscious mind. Some of you guys might know it's the subconscious, the unconscious. I'm speaking about the same thing. And within the unconscious, you've got the personal unconscious. Jung called it the personal unconscious. And the personal unconscious is elements drawn from our individual life experiences. Then you have the collective unconscious. And the collective unconscious is elements or cognitive structures which evolved over human history. Going back to Joseph Campbell, these stories are similar across cultures because it's the same story in the collective unconscious that we're all connected to. So the myths are a way of us to better understand the depths of our collective unconscious. We see this in many movies, books. The hero or the heroine starts off with a problem, either in their own life or in the world that they go on a journey into. And they try to solve the problem. It usually begins with the hero or the heroine going into a cave, going into a dark wood, some scary unknown place. And you'll realize as well, they usually go alone. They usually go alone as well. And that's a symbol. That cave and the unknown place is a symbol of the depths of the unconscious. So what is the hero's journey? The hero's journey is about reaching your full potential. Jordan Peterson, another dude I like to speak about a lot. A quote from Jordan, he says, "You're not everything you could be and you know it." So the hero starts off in a small, ordinary world. They're dissatisfied. I'm going to use Neo now from The Matrix as an example because it's an amazing film and most of us have watched it. So Neo starts off as a software engineer and he goes on the hero's journey and he realizes his potential and he discovers that he is the one. So the hero's journey is a journey of self-discovery and character development. You go into the depths of your psyche. You discover what you're really made of by going through trials and tribulations that you have to overcome. You die to your old ways only to rise again as a new and improved you. And the movies, the myths and the stories are metaphors that document this journey. The stages and the steps of the journey. So there's four stages in the journey. The four stages are separation, initiation, integration and rebirth. Right, so I'm going to go through these four steps with you guys and I'm going to use Neo from The Matrix as the example. First stage, separation. Something isn't right in the ordinary world. Something ain't right. Neo at this point is going by his birth certificate and his government name, Thomas Anderson. And he knows there's more to life and he wants to know what The Matrix is. And you have that scene, the famous scene with Neo where he meets Morpheus and Morpheus offers him the red pill or the blue pill moment. And that's the beginning, you know, when he takes the pill, that's the beginning of the start of his hero's journey. Initiation. The initiation is when Morpheus, his mentor, he trains him and teaches him about the Matrix. He works really hard, does all the training, fights some battles, but it takes him a while before he actually truly believes that he is the one. Integration, scene three. So the scene in the subway when he turns to finally face the agent. You know, the phone starts ringing and normally he runs away and he turns around and he looks at the brother and he's like, nah, let's do this. And then Morpheus says at that point, he says he's beginning to believe. He's beginning to integrate and believe in himself and his abilities. So yeah, I like that part. And then the fourth stage, rebirth. There is always a point on the journey when the hero faces death or they die. And it's symbolic to them dying to their old self. We see this when the agents catches Neo. They shoot him dead. And through the power of love, Trinity's love, he is reborn. And he is transformed into the One. Okay, so those are the four stages of the hero's journey. Then you've got the 12 steps. And there are 12 steps in the hero's journey. They further break down the four stages. I'm not going to go through each stage now. There's so much information about it out there. I recommend you look into it. I've been on the hero's journey. I'm still on the hero's journey or the heroine's journey. It never ends. If you're someone who's pregnant, for example, for the first time and you went from just having yourself to look after and then you go on the heroine's journey of what it is to go from just being responsible for yourself to being responsible for a human life, you know, that's a hero's journey, that initiation, that process. Me moving from my mum's house in my bedroom at my mum's where I had no rent to pay and I was unhappy but and unfulfilled, but I didn't have any responsibilities. And then going on the journey to having my own flat and my own place and responsibility and going on, because as well, the hero's journey is a journey of maturity, maturation and growing up. And I had to go on that journey. So like, that's what I keep saying. These stories are our stories. They're our stories. Becoming a wife, a husband. So the journey as well, it never ends. It's just life stages. All right, so there is a scene that I want to mention that I think is very much worth considering from The Matrix. And it's a scene when the agent runs into Neo. So this is after Neo rises after he was shot dead. And the agent, Neo absorbs the agent into him. You know, he does that thing, he goes in the whole room, just goes or whatever it does, and it goes into him. And this to me is Neo doing his shadow work. Neo spent the whole movie running from the agents. And in order for him to really reach his full potential, he must first integrate his fears. He must first integrate the agent, integrate his dark side. And this to me is him doing his shadow work. Very, very powerful. Because the agents are what? They're a symbol of the villain. I love the villain. I freaking love the villain in the movies. Why? Because I never used to. I used to be like, bad people exist in the world. Shadow projection. But as I started to do the work, I was like, hold on, the villain is just the other half of the hero. Like, it's the villain is symbolic of the shadow side that needs to be integrated by the hero. I'll give you some examples. Skywalker in the Star Wars movies. Who's his pups, mate? Who's his pups? Darth, man like Darth Vader. Darth Vader's his dad. So as much as it's like Skywalker, his dad's like the ultimate villain. And he gave birth to him. So he must have some elements of the badness in him. Or not the badness, but the dark side. And it's Skywalker's journey to you know, reach wholeness. Harry Potter. Harry Potter has the scar on his head that he got from Voldemort, the ultimate dude of evil. And he's been touched by evil. Harry Potter, because he's been touched by evil, Harry Potter can speak to snakes. So our favourite heroes and the good people that we look up to also have the darkness within them because they have to in order to be whole heroes. And that's why, oh, I just love these stories. Man, y'all making me want to cry, feel emotional. So my favourite hero, my ultimate favorite hero, even like literally, I'm not even joking, speaking about it now, I don't feel emotional. Natalie, you're lying. I'm feeling things right now as I'm saying this, and that is Batman. Batman is literally my all-time favorite hero. When I was studying this stuff, I literally was in my mum's house, in my bedroom, and my bedroom was my cave. My bedroom was my cave. I'll go into this more in another video, but I literally, I'm a bit extreme, okay? I bought like this really, really thick material. It's like a rug. And I attached it because I had really big windows in my bedroom. And I attached the rug to the top of the window. So I blocked out any light from coming in my bed. I was like, listen, if I'm really doing this work, I'm really doing this work. I don't think you need to do that. I don't recommend it either, because sometimes I'd forget that I did that, and I'd leave my bedroom and I might go out and then come back and open my door and literally scream, because I'm like, oh my God, because it literally was a cave. And my mum as well cussed me out, because she would forget and she would open the door and be like, listen, if you want to live in a cave, you can move out. Can't live like this in here. Who lives like this? I was like, Mum, I'm trying to sort my life out. Please, Mum, please. So when I came across Batman, who also lived in a cave, I was like, I know I'm not the only one. Do you know what I mean? Like, yes, Batman, thank you. You feel my pain, brother. So going back to Batman, Batman to me is the ultimate example of wholeness and shadow work, self-integration. How do we know this? Well, let's talk about bats. Bats are creatures of the night. Bats live in darkness. Bats live in caves. Caves are a well-known motif for the subconscious mind. Batman does his work from the bat cave. Like me. The cave, what lies beneath. Yeah, so I think that's really, really powerful stuff for us to consider. And he understands that darkness is in every human being. And he learns that the only way to not become controlled by our own inner darkness is by doing the shadow work and making the unconscious conscious. And he's a symbol of that. He also, in the Batman Begins movie, I recommend watching those movies. Those movies were like literally amazing. So Bruce Wayne, he's trained in the League of Shadows, and they train him to be able to fight injustice. And there's a famous quote from Henry Ducard, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, who is a dude who trains Bruce. He says to him, to conquer fear, you must become fear. What's he saying there? To conquer your fear, to conquer the darkness, you must become the darkness. Turning the page. This goes even deeper. At the start of Batman Begins, the movie, Bruce Wayne is a child. He's a kid and he's outside and he's playing, and he accidentally falls down a dark well. And he's besieged by bats that fly around him. And while he's down there, they traumatize him. He's traumatized by this experience of falling down a dark well as a child and just having all these bats just fly around him, and it sticks with him forever. So fast forward when he reaches adulthood, and there's a scene with Alfred, who is Bruce Wayne's butler. And Alfred says to Bruce, why bats, Master Wayne? Why Batman? Well, he doesn't say why Batman, but this is when Bruce Wayne is building in his Batcave, doing his bat stuff. And Alfred says, quote, why bats, Master Wayne? Close quote. And Bruce replies, because they frighten me. And he wears his, and that's why I love this and why I think this is important, is because he wears his own weakness. He doesn't run from them. Right. Another reason why I love Batman, and that's because I love Batman's enemy, the Joker. Well, one of Batman's enemy, because I think he has a few, don't he? He's got Bane and all these people. But let's talk about Joker. I love the Joker. Why do I love the Joker? The Joker is a symbol of chaos. We see this played out brilliantly by Heath Ledger in The Dark Knight, the famous hospital scene. So I want to take you guys back to when Heath Ledger is dressed as a rather attractive nurse, and he is with Two-Face. At this point, He's just Harvey Dent, who was the oh gosh, who was he again? He was in the government. He was doing something in the government, right? He had a good just job. He's a good dude, good guy. And then the Joker set him up, and he ended up getting caught up in an explosion, and half his face was blown up, basically. And that's how he went from being Harvey Dent, the good guy, to becoming Two-Face. Because the Joker's just like, listen, mate, you lot think you're all out here perfect. You lot think you ain't got no dark side. You lot think you ain't got no shadow. So my job as the Joker is to show you who you really are. Okay. So at this point, the Joker is in the hospital with Two-Face. Two-Face has just discovered that his face has been blown up by this dude who is over him, right? And the Joker says to Harvey Dent, I just did what I do best. I took your little plan and I turned it on its head. And then he says to Two-Face, as he's got a... And then at this point, the Joker gives Two-Face the gun and points the gun to his own head. The Joker points the gun to his own head and he's given Two-Face the gun, right? So you know he's a madman. And he says... introduce a little anarchy, upset the established order, and everything becomes chaos. Then he says the best line in the whole freaking movie. Okay. I'm an agent of chaos. And you know the thing about chaos? It's fair. I ain't gone anywhere. I'm just having a moment of silence. We're all gonna have a moment of silence. When I first came across that, I was like, all right, it's ringing true to my soul, but I don't know why. So then I called my sister and I sent her a clip on YouTube of that whole moment. I was like, what does he mean? The thing with chaos, it's fair. She goes, chaos, because chaos is fair. And she basically said, you know, anyone can get cancer. Anyone can get an illness. Anyone can experience betrayal. Doesn't matter if we've even seen that with the virus, right? The prime minister got the virus. Prince Charles got the virus. Celebrities got the virus. That's the thing. When chaos comes, chaos doesn't choose based on your color or your finances or who you are. It's coming. And that's why I think as difficult as these conversations can be sometimes, it's so necessary to have them because it's a part of the human experience that we just don't want to look at. And I get why we don't want to look at it, because it's tough and it's dark and it's challenging and it's hard. But what these heroes teach us as well is that chaos can give us purpose. And like I said in my video, I've done a whole podcast episode on chaos and order. So I've studied chaos, and that's because I had to, because my life was my life was chaos, and it wasn't chaos in terms of, it was an internal chaos. It was an internal struggle. It was my own negative thoughts. It was a feeling of powerlessness. It was darkness. It was the unknown. That was my reality. It wasn't. And because I felt that inside, that was the life I lived externally. And the only way for me to try and break out of that or to get through that was to go into it, was to go into my back cave and face my darkness. And what I'm going to go back to the quote now. What did the brother say? Hold on, let me find it. It's worth trying to find. To conquer fear, you must become fear. I had to become the chaos. That's why I speak about it the way that I do, which takes me quite nicely onto the next point. The Joker is Batman's shadow side. Batman wants to restore order in Gotham. The Joker laughs in Batman's face because of Batman's morality. The Joker finds joy in trying to pull Batman over to the dark side. There's a scene when the Joker and Batman are having a confrontation, and the Joker says, "The only sensible way to live in this world is without rules. Tonight, you're going to break your one rule." And that's the scene when the Joker basically sets up Harvey Dent, who becomes Two-Face. So this is just before the hospital scene. And the Joker sets up the explosion for Harvey Dent. He doesn't want to kill him as well. He plans to do what he done to him, destroy half of his face so that he can bring out his dark side and all that, because he's chaos and that's what he does. Or Batman has to choose between saving Harvey Dent before he becomes Two-Face or saving Rachel Dawes. And I believe Batman saves Rachel. So again, he's making him question his morality and all that kind of stuff. So throughout all this, we learn that Batman actually needs the Joker. The Joker, aka Batman, the shadow side, gives Batman purpose. Without malevolence, Batman has nothing to do. And we see this at the end of the Dark Knight movie, when the Joker says to Batman, "You just couldn't let me go." This is what happens when an unstoppable force meets an immovable object. "I think you and I are destined to do this forever." And what we learn here is that resistance and struggle gives us something to aim at. And then what we do is we go on the hero's journey and say yes to the challenge. So Batman is my favourite hero of all time because he is a wounded healer. Batman isn't perfect. Batman has been through trauma. Batman witnessed his parents being shot to death. He has fears and he accepts them. He owns them. He wears them. He went on the heroic journey to wholeness and integrated his inner darkness. And that's why Batman is my all-time and ultimate hero. Okay, so guys, we're coming to the end. I enjoyed this. So before I do a cute little lovely sweet summary, I was going to say save the best till last, but I've got to put more respect on Batman's name, so I'm not going to say that. It's just different, you know, same but different. As well as a favorite hero, I have a favorite heroine. Yep. And my favorite heroine of all time is Cinderella. We need to speak about this. We need to start putting some respect on the Disney princess's name. I ain't having it. I'm not having it no more. I'm not having all the putting down the princesses. It's not on. Disney princesses get a bad rap. And they're seen as weak. And really, when we're saying that these Disney princesses are weak, what we're really saying is that feminine attributes and characteristics are weakness. And I think that's wrong. So I love the Disney princesses because they all go through traumatic experiences. For example, Cinderella is made to be a slave by her stepmother in her own father's house after he dies. So her father's house, once her dad dies, her stepmother turns her into a freaking slave in the house, like dire. Snow White's stepmother kills her with an apple. I mean, come on. Belle in Beauty and the Beast is heckled and ostracized from her community for being smart and sticking up for her dad. So despite all their challenges, their traumas, they're still able to be kind, optimistic, and never lose hope in their happily ever after. They're great examples to all of us to never lose hope in your dreams. And no matter what challenges you face, you know, there's still tomorrow. Don't give up. And Cinderella is my favorite because she also has a banging voice. Like I love the Disney princesses. Like I love those voices. They're so sweet and angelic. Like, I love singing Disney. I sound really nice, you know, by the way, singing like Disney princess songs, by the way. And also she likes vintage clothes. I love vintage. For those of you guys that don't know, like I'm into fashion. I love vintage clothes. And there's a scene when she's like, "I'm going to the ball," and she gets her little animal friends, yeah. And she's like, "Let's get my mum's old dress," her mum who's passed, deceased. "Let's get mum's old dress, let's zhuzh it up, let's jazz it up a little bit." And she turns it into this beautiful pink ball gown. And then her evil stepsisters rip it off her and rip it to shreds. But even though she's treated like a slave in her house, even with the little things that she has, she finds a way to make the best out of dire circumstances. Is that not a great trait? Is that not something to be like, yeah, get in, Cinderella? Have I mentioned anything about a prince at this point? And also, what's wrong with like men helping women? Like, what's wrong with that? Why is this weakness? I don't get it. What's wrong with like guys being like, I love when a guy's like, "I want to help you. Can I help you?" Yes, please. Why not? Why is that? Why are these bad things? Let's have some. Maybe I need to do a podcast episode on that. Because that, I don't understand it. Someone educate me. Also, the fairy godmother. So she has a fairy godmother who helps her. And I have a great grandmother. I've never met her before, but my dad was obsessed with her and loved her very, very much. She lived in Barbados and she passed before I got to meet her. And my dad always told me growing up, her name was Ma, he called her Ma, I call her Ma, was so fond of you. She just said the most, she has such high aspirations and dreams for you. And she just said, just always spoke. I was like, but dad, she's never met me. I've never even spoken to her. He's like, it doesn't matter. Like my dad was just like, this woman is so powerful and she's just got so much wisdom and just strength that she knows so much about you and believes in you and she's never met you. And it just stuck with me because he just always used to tell me this, like throughout my whole life. I just grew up believing in this being who didn't know me but believed in me. And I've just, so from a teenager really, I've always spoken to her. I've got a picture of her in my room and I talk to her all the time. And she's been in my life for longer than she hasn't been. And that's family. Like I love her. So I too can relate to Cinderella in the sense of I've got my own fairy great grandmother and she's got her fairy godmother. So yeah, overall, I think the Disney princesses are great examples of the power of inner strength. No, they are not overtly aggressive. They are kind, they are caring, they are optimistic. And we should put the princesses back on their thrones where they belong and stop saying that feminine characteristics are weak. Okay, so in conclusion, there is a reason why we pack out the cinemas to watch the latest Marvel movie, Star Wars film, or even a Disney one. We are going to watch ourselves on the big screen. You are Neo, you are Batman, and I am Cinderella. And when we root for the hero in the movie, we are rooting for ourselves. These movies are speaking to our personal and collective unconscious. They remind us that we're not alone. We all face challenges, and each of us have what it takes to overcome them and reach our full potentials. The hero's journey is a map to self-transformation and self-integration and individuation. When one goes on the journey and commits to it, it is inevitable that one's life will transform both internally and externally. So what are you waiting for? Let the journey begin! Yay! Yay! Yes. Yes. Come on. Come on. All right, guys. That's it from me. I enjoyed that. And I go live, by the way, on my Instagram. My Instagram is Neo Natalie May, N-E-O Natalie May. I go live every Wednesday at 8 p.m. on my Instagram to speak about the latest podcast episode. So I release a podcast on here 8 a.m. every Tuesday. And then Wednesday, 8 p.m, I go live on my Instagram to speak about these episodes. I love tarot cards. Again, tarot cards are a great way to connect with the unconscious and the subconscious mind. I tie it into spirituality. I get to speak to you guys. We get to have conversations about all this stuff. I'm on the journey too. Like, I am no one's guru, man. I come like Batman. Like, I'm the wounded healer. Like, I'm not perfect. I'm not here for perfection. I'm here for wholeness. That's why this podcast is called what it is called. So if you're on the journey, if you're on that, if that resonates, join me tomorrow on my Instagram live at 8 p.m. And yeah, let's reason, let's heal, let's learn, let's evolve, let's grow, let's reach our full potential. Yeah. All right, guys. Speak to you soon. Bye.